وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بالسنة إلى يوم الدين. All praise due to Allah and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, In the Names of Allah. This series focuses on the names of Allah as mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah, because these are the two authentic sources from which we can extract the names of Allah. Because as we said many episodes back, the names of Allah cannot be determined by deduction, human reasoning and logic. We depend on what Allah has revealed to us as the basis for His names. So that is the foundation that we've built this program on. So every name that we look at, we identify its source. In the Quran, if it's there, then that's sufficient. That could also be in the Sunnah, but usually we just mention it's in the Quran as its location. If the name is not in the Quran, after we've finished looking at all of the names that have been extracted from the Quran, then we'll go and look at those from the Sunnah, from the authentic traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The idea behind looking at these names is that we apply them in our lives, because Allah did not reveal them just for vague knowledge, knowledge without any real benefit. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ told us to seek refuge in Allah from knowledge which is of no benefit. So we are studying these names in order to be able to extract from them benefit in our daily lives. The fact that there is benefit is also emphasized in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said, Allah has 99 names. لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ اسْمًا. Whoever memorizes them or guards them will enter paradise. That is the promise of the Prophet ﷺ. So we know this is a worthy enterprise for us to know these names of Allah. Also, we are trying to develop also ways and means of worshipping Allah through those names. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. All the beautiful names belong to Allah, so call on Him with them. That's the basis or the working principle that we're using behind this program. How can we apply these names of Allah in our lives? On one hand, it involves knowing their meanings, and in that way we get to know Allah better, because it is through His names that we know Him. Secondly, we try to find out what relevance the names have in our day-to-day lives, whether we pray with them or whether we are conscious of Allah with regards to them, and so it affects our day-to-day lives in a particular way. Or whether we reflect them, that there is some element of these names that we are also expected to live. Some names, like Allah, the first of the names that we looked at, we can't live this name. This name is unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Other names, like Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, the essence of the names, Rahmah, mercy, is something we can live. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man la yarham la yurham. Whoever does not show mercy to others will not receive mercy. So it means, obviously, we are expected, on the basis of this name, recognizing the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, we are expected also to reflect that mercy to those around us. Whether it be human beings, whether it be children, whether it be animals. Even animals we are expected to show mercy towards. In this segment, we're looking at the 10th name, Al-Muhaymin, the guardian. And this name is mentioned only once in the Quran. There's only one place in the Quran where it can be found. And that is in Surah Al-Hashr, the 23rd verse, where a number of these names that are only mentioned once are found there. Allah mentions about 15 of the names in that one spot. Well, it's 15 of his names. Al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam al-Mu'minu al-Muhaymin. The Sovereign, the Holy, the Bestower of Peace, the Granter of Security, the Guardian. The meaning of this name, from a grammatical point of view, was one where scholars had some difficulty establishing, because the root of the name was in dispute. Where did this name come from? Some held that it came from Amana, which means to make someone feel safe. Thus, it meant the same as Amin, the trustworthy. Others held that it was from Mu'taman, trusted. Yet others suggested that it meant a watchman, a guardian, a witness, that is Shaheed or Shahid or Hafiz or Raqib. These other names, these were other meanings which were suggested. Relative to Allah, this divine name means the witness of everything which takes place in Allah's creation. According to the verse in Surah Yunus, verse 61, وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّا عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا إِذْ تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ. Whatever deed you may be doing, I am a witness of it, while you are deeply engrossed in it. Allah is the witness of everything. It also means the watcher, the one who watches, as he's the witness, he's the watcher, and the guardian over the affairs of all his creatures. Actually, this name, Muhaymin, Allah refers to the Quran also as Muhaymin. Muhaymin over the other scriptures, in that the scriptures which came before had become distorted. So how do we know what of those scriptures are correct and what are not? The Quran guards what is correct of the scriptures. So all of the other scriptures can be put in the scale of the Quran to determine what is authentic from them. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the title Muhaymin to the Quran itself. And 1,400 years ago, Allah said in the Quran that people had made changes in the scriptures and had written it with their own hands. This reality was only discovered very recently. Only a couple of centuries ago, Christian and Jewish scholars studying the Bible, came to the conclusion that in fact these texts were written by their own hands. There were duplications, they could see patterns in them, and they compared earlier manuscripts with later manuscripts, and they found all kinds of discrepancies, which led them to conclude that the whole of what was known as the Torah amongst the Jews, accepted by Christians as part of the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament writings of the Gospels, that these were written by humans. This is not revealed scripture. Although it may contain some elements of revealed scripture, it was not. The Quran pointed this out 1,400 years ago. So the Quran, it is the guardian of the truth. The truth which was revealed to the prophets of Allah. With regards to the effects of this name, what effect should it have? Knowing that Allah is the supreme witness who watches over all that takes place in His creation. This knowledge, the knowledge of this name, Al-Muhaymin, should lead the believer to reflect on his or her thoughts, words, and deeds. Being aware that Allah is watching over everything that we think, we say, and we do, this should cause us to be cautious. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 74, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is not inattentive of anything that you do. Allah is aware completely. So this name encourages the believer to take stock of themselves and to check their lifestyles. People easily get caught up into corruption when in a corrupt environment. And it happens without people even realizing it's happening. So a person may come on a job, you're raised with good principles, you know, of being honest and everything else, but you go into a company, you join a company, where you find everybody in the company is involved in one or other kind of corruption act. They're either taking things from the company, take paper, take pens, take whatever, take them home. Or they're involved in other elements of corruption within the company. So you have come in, you're an honest person, and you're sitting amongst these people. In time, you will be affected. We're going to look at this point a little more deeply after the break. We'll take a brief break here, and inshallah, I will see you after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength from the strong.
Remember, Inside Huda is a program specially designed for you, the viewers. A program in which I'll be taking you behind the scenes to see the making of episodes, to meet the presenters, the preparers, and all those who are in charge of keeping Huda TV the best Islamic channel. Today's show is all about one special program from a very special presenter, Inspirations.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength from the strong.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. All praise due to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last messenger of Allah. Welcome back, dear viewers, to our series, In the Names of Allah. Before the break, we were looking at the name Al-Muhaymin, the guardian, the watcher, the one who is watching over all of our deeds, external as well as internal. Deeds that are said or deeds that are actually done with our hands. We said that awareness of this particular name should lead us to reflect on what is going on in our heads, what is happening, what we're saying, with what is happening with our actions and our deeds. Are we on the right path? We're being watched. Being a Muslim is not enough. One may sit in an environment, that's what we were talking about before the break, the environment, which can affect a person and gradually take him or her away from the path. So we talked about an individual who comes into a company. He's raised honestly, his parents were honest, and he was raised to be honest, tell the truth, you know, don't take what doesn't belong to you. But he comes into a company and he sits down with the people and all the people around him, you know, they get to know him, friendly, everything. Then he notices in their behavior that at the end of the day, they're taking pens, pencil sharpeners, papers, paper clips. They're collecting these things and taking them home with them. They're replaced every day. The company has a supply. There's somebody who's in charge of providing supplies for the office. So they're replaced. No big deal. But really, there is a big deal here. Because people are actually stealing property. But, you know, people have taken it so lightly. It's not a big deal, you know. Take a little bit home for your kids, you know. And everybody, it's all right. No problem. And so that person, at first, he says, no, he doesn't want to do this. But then he looks, he sees everybody's doing it. It's the norm, you know. So then he starts, well, maybe it's okay if I just take a paper clip or just a pencil. And then eventually he starts to take more and more till he becomes like the rest of them. You know, this is something that the Prophet ﷺ warned us about. He described bad companions, he described them as Jalisu Su. You have Jalisu Salih and Jalisu Su, a good companion and a bad companion. If you sit with people who are, you know, bad companions, people of a negative environment, they're going to affect you. So the Prophet ﷺ gave this example. He said that the good companions are like the perfume merchant, one who sells perfume. If you go and you sit with him all the time, either he's going to give you a little bit of the perfume, is a favor, he's giving you some, or at least you will walk away smelling good because he has opened up all these jars as he was selling them and the scent has gone over you. So you go home smelling good. Whereas the bad companion is like what? He is like the blacksmith, Sahibul Kir. He's there working the bellows, blowing air onto the coals that are burning. He's got iron in there. He's beating it. Sparks are flying. So either because you're close to him whilst he's beating this iron, sparks are going to come and burn your clothes. You'll have to go home with holes in your clothes. Or at least you'll go away stinking of smoke. You'll go away smelling of smoke. One or the other. In the West, they say, if you lie with dogs, you get up with fleas. It's the same kind of idea, maybe not as nice as the way the Prophet put it, but it's the same idea. What you are constantly around is going to have an impact on you. So, for the believer, this name, Al-Muhaymin, should cause him to take stock, or her to take stock of themselves. Are they still on track, or have they waved away, diverted from the path due to bad companionship, bad companions? So that is one point that this name should call us to reflect on. Where are we? The second is that it invites, from the perspective of being conscious of Allah watching us, it invites us into the halls of Ihsan. Ihsan. What is Ihsan? Ihsan is, as the Prophet ﷺ said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُن تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. To worship Allah as if you see Him. And if you can't see Him, indeed, He sees you. to worship Allah as if you see Him. That's that consciousness, to be aware of Allah watching. Just as a person, if his father is there, if he's doing a job and the father is there watching him, he's going to be very careful. But if the father is not there, then he tends to be slack. So the presence of the father, or the presence of your boss, or the presence of somebody of importance, causes you to do the job as it should be done. It shouldn't, really. It should be enough to know that we have a responsibility and we do it to the best of our ability. As the Prophet ﷺ had said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ إِذَا عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَنْ يُتْقِنَهُ. Allah loves from each and every one of us that if we do anything, we do it to the best of our ability. So that should stand. That should be our standard, whether people are watching or they're not watching. But human beings are human beings. We tend to be more attentive, tend to be more precise, more correct when people are watching us. So, worshipping Allah as if we can see Him. That is, as if He's there watching us. We're going to be much more concerned, much more conscious. You know, how we do it, how we do that act of worship. We're going to try to do it the best that we can. If we can feel the presence of Allah, that Allah is watching us. And that's what this name should create in us. And if we slacken from that level of doing acts of worship as if Allah sees us, then we shift to the lower level, which is doing it knowing that He sees us. First level is to do it as if we see Him, as if He's there, we can see Him. The second level is to do it knowing He sees us. If we are able to catch either one of those two, the higher one is the better, then we have entered into the realm of Ihsan. And this is something worthy of a Muslim to strive his life for. Because Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, in that famous hadith of Jibreel, which I quoted from, when Angel Gabriel came and asked about what is Islam, what is Iman, faith, and what is Ihsan, he asked, showing that these were different levels. So we should strive, of course, for the highest possible level. The third point of regarding the effects of belief in the name Al-Muhaymin on the believer is that it should cause reflection, it should cause us to stop doing evil from the realm of thought. We should, knowing that Allah is watching over us, conscious of everything we do, from the realm of thought, we should strive to stop evil deeds. Meaning what? Meaning that an evil deed starts with a thought. It doesn't just, usually it's not spontaneous. Of course, there are some deeds that we may not even think. It's just you did it accidentally, you did it without thinking, whatever. Usually, but most evil deeds are done, planned, they're thought out. An evil thought comes to our mind. Maybe we produce that thought ourselves, or could be from satanic sources, or it could be from our friends, bad friends around us, suggesting we have that thought in our head. We can either brush the thought aside, or we can think about that thought, reflect on it some more. And then, sounds good. Seems like a good idea. And then we come to a decision. I think I'll do this. And from there, maybe we'll talk to people about it. You're planning to do it and so, and then we go ahead and do it. So it starts from the thought. Once it's reached the realm of action, we're about to do it, to try to stop, then thought comes to you, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this, but you're already in the act. Very difficult to stop then. The easiest time to stop that evil deed is when it just starts in your head. This is the best place to stop it. It's simple. It can just be brushed aside. Very simple procedure. So this name should have that effect on us, that we should strive to stop evil from the realm of thought. Not that we can't think evil, because we're human beings. As I said, there are forces all around us that will produce evil thoughts that we can't control. So it's coming. Can't help it. It's part of the test of this life. But we can stop it. It's true. Allah has promised through His Messenger a mercy that we will not be held for evil, account for evil thoughts. We'll not be held accountable for evil thoughts as long as we don't speak about them and act on them. That's reality. And that's a big mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even so, we don't say, okay, since we're not held accountable, no need to worry about those thoughts. No. Of course, we still need to worry about them. Worry about them. Why? Because if we don't stop things in the realm of thought, then they're going to become words and deeds. That's the norm. That's the way things are. So we have to strive to stop this in the realm of thought to prevent us from falling into evil deeds. Now, the fourth point that we should keep in mind concerning Allah being the guardian, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the good that we do, He guards us from evil through His mercy. If we do good, if we're involved in righteous deeds, then He will look after us and protect us. This is the guardian. He is the guardian of the good that we have done, protecting us. As Allah said in Surah Al-Kahf, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was righteous concerning the young orphans whose wall was rebuilt to protect the treasure that was there for them. Allah did it for them because of their father. That is Allah guarding. That is the guarding. Also, when we look at the case of Prophet Yusuf, when he was caught in a circumstance, a major trial, he's a slave. The wife of his master is calling him to corruption. If it weren't for Allah saving him, guarding him, he would have fallen. This is Allah guarding the believers. And this is what? When we reflect on this name, we also reflect on this guardian aspect that Allah protects the believers. If we protect the deen, then Allah will protect us. With that, dear viewers, we'd like to thank you for being with us in this segment of the program, In the Names of Allah, in which we have been looking at Al-Muhaymin, the guardian. We hope to see you in our coming episodes, and we hope, inshallah, that you will continue to benefit as we have benefited in preparing these episodes. Barakallahu feekum, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
When you are weak and the road seems long,